This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Back on Today and a conversation with State Representative Gary Leaf. Very busy session of the Oregon State Legislature. Gary, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kyle. You know, it's always great to be on your show.
So,
you know, as this legislative session continues, sometimes I feel like we're living in like the twilight zone. You know, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You've got executive orders flying and bills flying. And I don't know if you've heard about this, but the latest ultra-liberal proposal out of Salem is that we eliminate diesel fuel sales in Oregon. So sometimes, especially during this session, I simply wonder what happened to common sense. I think this is an example where a lack of in-person committee work and testimony from impacted groups allows some really crazy legislative ideas to prosper.
Yeah, talk about this diesel fuel idea. We heard about it a week or so ago, whenever that was. And it was interesting because a lot of folks talked about the timeline, talked about vehicles and what's available in the market right now and things like that. And while there were certainly proponents of the idea, some folks thought even if you wanted to do that, a lot of things are not set to start heading that direction quite so fast.
You know, Kyle, I understand the desire for a carbon neutral environment, but at some point, reality and actual science kind of have to be the guiding force. Diesel fuel powers all of the large trucks, which deliver all the goods to Oregon, and they also pass through our state. Diesel fuel powers many of our, like our emergency response equipment, our road equipment, our agricultural equipment, many of our fishing vessels, and a lot of other uses. And if, and that's a big if, the citizens and the legislature want to eliminate diesel fuel, then the government needs to incentivize the replacement. But, you know, that's not going to be an easy task. I kind of had to laugh. I know that Caterpillar has come out with a new bulldozer, which has primarily electronic drive motors in it. But here's the funny thing. It relies on an onboard diesel generator. So the unwinding of fossil fuels really will take generations, not just a two-year legislative session, but generations.
Well, and you bring up an interesting point that I frankly hadn't thought of before is the fact that this is if this is done on a state level and neighboring states are not doing the same thing, what does that do with interstate commerce?
Well, that means they can't buy diesel as they go through the state. So do they go around or do they have enough tanks to get them through the state? You know, all those are really great questions.
And those vehicles, whether they're delivering things right in Oregon or simply passing through, there are other stops that are made for food, maybe overnight lodging, things like that, that get impacted in there. One would wonder if a move that direction might be something better undertaken on a national level where you would have consistency and you wouldn't have those issues.
Well, you know, the legislature's just hearing some bills right now. As a matter of fact, they're going through my government committee. And one of the things that they're doing right now is they're identifying and changing all of the cars that the state purchases, and they're switching over to electric cars. But see, that in itself creates a huge endeavor because where do you charge them at? I mean, normally you put them in a parking lot and you go fill them up at the gas station when you need to. Well, now you drive, you know, a state car, you better have a place to plug it in and charge it, which, you know, will require, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of electric charging stations. Do we have the power capacity in our electricity grid to even do that? You know, there. So you might have the greatest idea in the world. Eliminating fossil fuels is a great idea, but you better have a plan to do it. And in Southern Oregon, I mean, think about all the timber that's delivered, you know, all of the lumber that goes, the railroad cars. I mean, all these things require diesel. How do you replace that?
Interesting. Well, let me ask you this. So far, that proposal has been out. What kind of response have you heard?
It's just going through a committee right now, and they're hearing testimony on it. This is Rep. Powers' bill, and so to be determined, you know, and, you know, the Democrats control the agenda, and they control the, you know, all that's goes through the legislature right now. So to be determined.
Let's talk about the back to school. Now, the official executive order from the governor came out today. A week ago, she made the announcement. A lot of people actually thought the order had already been put out, but it was officially signed and out today. And that impacts some schools more than others, not so much in our area. What's your thoughts of the timeline and what the governor is doing with schools?
Well, you know, I've been on the record opposing in-person school attendance until such a time that the governor and the legislature are willing to address underlying structural issues. Our teachers, our students, and parents deserve answers on several key issues. So funding to repair and remediate our school facilities that can't meet current OSHA guidelines, you know, like air conditioning, air circulation, classroom capacity, funding for additional janitorial and cleaning supplies, and PPE for the schools. You can't make the teachers do all that stuff. So, I mean, these are important things. Consideration for the lack of internet connection and other technology needs for both remote and classroom education. And then there are state guidelines and procedures for assessing students as they return to the traditional classrooms, along with a plan and funding to remediate learning deficiencies that have occurred, you know, during the last year. You know that there's going to be students that are left behind right now, and so we got to get them back up to speed. And then consideration for suspending the state testing requirements until we have fully restored the education system. So there's a lot of more to this than just opening up schools.
So what do you think should be done right now? What should schools be doing?
Working with the teachers, working with, you know, the cleaning supplies, making sure when students come back in the following day that the, you know, the students are in a safe environment. Do we have the proper ventilation systems? You know, in up in Portland, yeah, they've got all that stuff, but we're in rural Oregon. I mean, we have classrooms that are older that we don't have the classroom sizes that we can put those. So all, you know, it's just sitting down and meeting with parents, teachers, and administrative staff to find out what, how we can all work together to make this as seamless as we possibly can.
So for the issue of the size of a classroom, how do you deal with that without just going out, which would take a long time, and building newer schools that are designed differently?
Well, what they're doing right now, as I understand it, is they're doing half classroom sizes right now. So, you know, instead of going 4 days a week, they're doing 2 days a week. But see, that doesn't really help the students, because that means they're only getting maybe half of the services that they need, although they're trying to pick that up on the other side with technology. Well, and one of the things that I mentioned is, you know, technology is slow here in Southern Oregon. I just saw today that Spectrum has released that they're going to be doubling the capacity to help students in the rural area and parents and stuff try and meet those needs. So, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts in this to make sure that we're meeting everybody's needs. You can't slap it all together and go, you're going to go back and you're going to do this. You know, we need to make sure everybody's safe, and we need to make sure students are being taken care of. And then there's one more part to this thing, too, is, you know, since kids have been out for quite a while, is there going to be issues of abuse that we're now going to see for the first time? How are you handling that? You know, a lot of moving parts.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Representative Gary Leaf joining us this afternoon. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 on Inside Douglas County. For News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, CBS Audio, America Changed Forever, taking a look at yesterday, 1 year ago, when the World Health Organization made the declaration that COVID-19 was a global pandemic. A CBS News Broadcast Center in New York ended up going virtual and has ever since. We'll talk with the reporters about that in the special with Gil Gross this afternoon. And on Monday's program, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us in weekly look at COVID-19. We're checking on what's happening with the Oregon State Legislature and State Representative Gary Leaf. One of the things we've talked about with a number of lawmakers over the last year is the impact on business in the state, and especially here in Douglas County, Gary, during these times. And for instance, right now, we're under a period of extreme risk.
You know, I've shared with the governor, and I know that other legislators have expressed similar issues, that the ongoing executive orders and the use of Oregon OSHA to enforce the orders is literally destroying our small business owners. Meanwhile, which is kind of funny, we allow these large box stores to operate. We approve a return to school athletics, and now the governor's asked for a return to in-person education. We have no data and no science showing that small business operations, and especially restaurants, are the root cause of the COVID spread. Matter of fact, at the last executive orders, I think we had 4 restaurants out of 300 cases, and the governor shut down the entire Douglas County. And I think if you look at the geographic part of this, I'll bet there probably weren't any in South County, maybe not in North County, and maybe not over at Reedsport, but we shut the whole county down. And I think we need a more refined public data regarding the exposure. And just to put out a static number, like 20 cases in the county, we should break that down into the impacted geographical areas. Are we having a challenge in Glendale? I don't know. Sutherland? I don't know. But we're closing the entire county when the actual impact might be just limited to Roseburg. I recently had a great conversation with the governor talking about exactly these same points, and I'm hoping they will help her shape the future decisions. I got a funny story. So we were eating, we were ordering at Abby's Pizza on Stephen Street, and, you know, you can't sit down at a table. You can't order a beer and sit down while you're waiting for your pizza. You know, you basically come in, you wait outside, or you wait right there. And 2 or 3 people came in and ordered a beer. And I thought, what the heck's going on? So, and I asked the staff, where are those people going? If I can't have a beer while I'm waiting, well, they're going in the back where the lottery games are. So you can go in the back, have a beer, sit down in the lottery, but I can't sit down in the front while I'm waiting for a pizza. That's Twilight Zone to me.
Well, I know there have been some people that have asked about the issue of the gaming machines being on. Some have said, well, it's basically the fact that if those aren't operating, the state gets less revenue. So there's a tie there. Now, restaurants have been allowed to do, of course, the takeout options, and that has switched over to include alcoholic beverages as well. And I know some folks would like to see that as something that happens in the long term. I guess as all these things are coming with federal stimulus and different ways to help businesses that have been impacted, because the restaurant industry has been one of the harder hit areas, from Salem's perspective, is there anything out there in the legislature to provide any form of either aid or reductions in the cost of businesses business for these restaurants?
So nothing more than what they've already been doing. And, you know, you can talk about the restaurant owners, you can talk about the businesses, but, you know, in that equation, you have to talk about the employees. You know, we were eating at a restaurant or doing takeout in a restaurant, and I asked them, you know, how many staff people had been laid off, and they'd laid off half their cooks, their entire staff of waitresses and waiters and cleaners and all that stuff were laid off. It's affecting a lot more than just the businesses. And I, last time I was on the program, I told you that we were talking with a waitress who was in tears. She couldn't handle this again. She's a single mother, and she's had to borrow money from her father, you know, and she has a good job, except for the governor keeps, you know, closing down restaurants, which are not the root of the problem. I talked with Dr. Dannenhofer yesterday, as a matter of fact, and, you know, and the issue's still not restaurants, you know, it's still, but yet we're singling them out. So I don't know what the answer is, but I just as I've talked with the governor, she really needs to really look at what she's doing to Southern Oregon.
For the people who have been unemployed because of these shutdowns, whether it's restaurant or other areas, one of the ongoing things we keep hearing about, even 12 months later, is the Oregon State Employment Department and the fact that some people just can't get any help.
Yeah, it's gotten better from my perspective. So I used to get 3, 5, 10 emails a day, and now I'm down to maybe 3 to 5 emails a week for people. So they've improved their online system. They've gotten more staff to be able to help people. So really now it's the people who have unusual circumstances that they were, you know, declined. They don't know how to navigate through the system to be able to appeal that, you know. Those are really the things that I'm getting right now. But we're getting about 200,000 unemployment cases a week now. And that's still a considerable amount.
Well, and even just last week, I saw a post from someone on social media who was out of work at that point, and they had tried, I think it was for 2 hours or something, to get through on the phone and never did get an answer.
Oh, that's not unusual. I had someone actually this morning that wrote and said that they tried 300 times, I don't know if that's true, yesterday, trying to get through and couldn't get through. And so for those folks, if they contact me, I can usually get them to the right employment services where they can kind of get help or try and find out where their problem is. But they have a really good online system right now that can usually answer most everything.
All right, State Representative Gary Leaf, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Man, it goes fast, Kyle. Thank you so much. Really enjoy it.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.